Your Bibles with you, we're turning to the book of Ephesians, as I've already said, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and if you don't have a Bible with you, you listen on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, we're turning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're commencing our reading at verse 1, and we'll be reading down to verse 14. Let us hear God's word. Ephesians, chapter 1, commencing our reading at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 14. Knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word, as he said he will do so. Amen. You have your Bibles with you. If you could open to that passage that we read earlier from Ephesians, we thank our sister Joy for playing for us. And having our Bibles opened at that passage that we read earlier from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. Ian, let us bow before the Lord, seeking the Lord's face for his help in this our time of need, knowing that past blessings will not suffice. We need grace for grace. We need his divine help upon this meeting, upon this most important part of the meeting, and that's the preaching of God's truth, not because I preach it, but because this is what God has ordained. Lord, our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, we thank thee for all that has taken part thus far. We ask thee now for that continued grace, that continued help, especially now in the preaching of divine truth. We ask of thee that our hearts would be tuned in with thee. Lord, that thou wilt shut us in with thyself. Lord, we ask of thee for that divine aid. You'll succor to our cry. Come running to our aid. For the glory of thy precious name, Lord, we feel our unworthiness, our own insufficiencies, our own bankruptcy. Lord, we thank Thee that we can cry as Paul of old, "My sufficiency is of God." You've said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before Thee all the days of thy life." As I was with Moses, so I will be with Thee. I will not fail Thee nor forsake Thee, and therefore we simply bring back Your truth before Thee. Do as Thou hast said. You've said, "Lo, I am with You always, even to the uttermost parts of the world." Lord, help us now. For the glory of Thy precious name, empty me now of self and of sin. Fill me full of the Holy Ghost and with power. For the glory of Thy precious name, hide us behind the cross and help us to uplift our Saviour. Then we will go away being satisfied. Then we will go away saying it was good for us to have been here, for we met afresh with the Lord. Lord, help us as we continue to wait on before Thee. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray, and for Thy glory alone. For He's worthy. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You see, redemption supposes captivity and slavery. It is the deliverance out of the slavery and the guilt of sin. God's elect, by nature, are in bondage to sin, Satan and the law, but through the grace of Christ, they are redeemed from all iniquity, ransomed out of the hands of Him that is stronger than they, and freed from the law, its bondage, curse, and condemnation, and from every other enemy. And this benefit, Christ is the author of. He was called to be the Redeemer of His people from all eternity. And He was sent in the fullness of time to procure redemption for them, to which He had the right, being their kinsman, and for which He is every way fit, being God as well as man, and which He has obtained by His obedience, sufferings, and death, and in whom it resides, and in its proper subject and author, who by imputation has made redemption to all the chosen ones, not for angels, but men, share in this redemption, and not all men, but elect men, such as are chosen in Christ, predestined to the adoption of children by Him, and who are accepted in the Beloved. And this comes to them, that is, through the blood of Christ, which was freely shed on the cross and was a sufficient ransom or redemption price, it being not only the same blood with those who are redeemed, but the blood of an innocent person, because he couldn't sin. Able not to sin, not able to sin. God manifest in the flesh, because it was the blood of an innocent person, and not of a mere man, but one who is truly and properly God. as well as man. And therefore, by means of the atonement which he has made, we obtain through his blood the forgiveness of sins, that is, all sins, original and actual, past, present, and to come. And this is through the blood of Christ. And this is through the blood of Christ, and is a way of title, redemption by the blood. Redemption by the blood. This is the blood of Christ, the blood of God's dear Son, his own blood, and not the blood of bulls and goats. And the same with that of the persons he redeems, but untainted with sin, the blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, of original or actual sin. Otherwise it would not have been a sufficient redemption price for his people if it had been tainted with sin. But my friends, Christ's own blood, the blood of God's dear Son, the blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so firstly we come to the source of redemption. The source of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the atonement made for sin, that Christ made on Calvary's cross. And therefore the redemption of sinners, that is the setting free, the setting loose, the redemption of sinners flows from the atonement made by Jesus Christ. It is his blood, his precious blood, and his precious blood alone. He is the source of redemption, in whom, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Look with me at Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus, back in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, and we read the following. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Listen, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And therefore, and so, it was appointed to make atonement with. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, the sinner deserved to die. The sinner deserved to die, and therefore the sacrifice must die. And so God appointed the sprinkling or pouring out of the blood of the sacrifice upon the altar to signify that the life of the sacrifice was given to God instead of the sinner's life. Instead of the sinner's life. And as a ransom or counter or price for it. For as it says in Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And therefore, this is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of redemption. Upon the atoning sacrifice of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You see, the animal sacrifices in the Levitical law, they could never take away sin. The animal sacrifices could never take away sin, and so they were pointers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:4, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says this, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And therefore, the animal sacrifices could never take away sins. And so they were pointers forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would make atonement for the soul. And therefore, the legal sacrifice did not of themselves take away sin. They couldn't take sin away sin because it was not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So it was impossible that they should. But they pointed forward to the work of Christ, to that great sacrifice in which he would make atonement for sin. For such blood shed can never take away sin, can never answer the penalty of the law, satisfy divine justice, or secure the honor of divine holiness. But listen, but what the blood of these creatures could not do, the blood of Christ has done and does. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul, in whom, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And therefore Christ made the atonement by reason of his perfect obedience. His perfect obedience and the shedding of his precious blood. And because the atonement has been made, there is redemption of sinners as a result. There is the redemption of sinners as a result, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And therefore Christ is the source of redemption. His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, his precious blood, is of a lamb without blemish and without spot, because there was only and there only has been one man qualified to make atonement, and that one man is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ alone that makes atonement for the soul. And because the blood of Christ is the blood of the incorruptible, incarnate God-man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, not only of flesh and blood, but of human soul. He wasn't only man, but he was God. God and man, distinct in two natures, but one person forever, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. therefore the only Redeemer of God's elect, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, the one who always existed, that pre-existent one, became man. Because he came to earth, he didn't bring his humanity with him. No, he became man. And so was and continueth to be, because he's in heaven with something that he didn't come with, and that is his humanity. Because he's there as the God-man, the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for and reigns over all things on behalf of his people. And so the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. This is the source of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There is also, secondly, the price of redemption. The price of redemption. Christ paid the price. He paid the price required by giving his life, because redemption is secured at a price. And that price is the life of Christ. Such was the price. Price paid. Price which sin had incurred. The price which sin's debt, by which sin's debt is paid. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You don't have to turn to it for time's sake. For ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Not with silver and gold. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Being ransomed by a price from the bondage of the law, sin, Satan, and the world. And therefore Christ's blood is strictly a ransom paid to God's justice by the love of God in Christ for our redemption. 1 Corinthians 7:23, again, ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price, purchased by blood. Purchased by blood, by the blood of his Son. It wasn't by a sum of money, something that is corruptible. No, ye were bought with a price. The life of Christ, his own blood, his precious blood, purchased of God by the blood of his Son, wasn't by a sum of money. You'll find those who boast in the multitude of their riches. In Psalm 49, and we read in Psalm 49, 6 to 8, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and ceaseth forever. You see, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Isn't this what Rome teaches? Rome teaches that men can be redeemed by money. But it is completely contrary to what the Bible teaches. For none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Rome teaches for many years and remains until this day, they teach that men can give money and they can redeem their brother out of purgatory. The Bible doesn't teach it because it doesn't say it. God says, they that trust in their riches, listen. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. And so it's contrary to Scripture. It's not by money. It's not by money. The only price of the redemption of the soul is the precious blood of Christ. His life is the ransom price. That is Christ himself. Christ himself. And neither is the redemption of the soul possible upon any other ground. For Christ has purchased eternal redemption for his people. And it is a deliverance of God's elect, a chosen generation, out of the slavery and the guilt of sin, into a state of salvation by means and merit of the ransom paid by Christ on our behalf. The deliverance has been purchased and is now the possession of all true believers. Listen, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. 1 Peter 1:19, listen. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is the only price of man's redemption. Through his blood. Through his blood. And therefore we as the people of God. We as the people of God ought to stand in awe. We ought to stand in awe. That we, being the recipients of something which cost the very life of the Son of God, that we, the people of God, we ought to stand in awe at being the recipients of something which cost the very life of the Son of God, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Such was the price, and therefore this is the price of redemption. Thirdly, there is the result of redemption. The result of redemption. God's redemption deals with the problem of our sins. You see, the atonement satisfied a holy God. God must be satisfied. The atonement is seen as purely objective because it is Godward, and God must be satisfied because God has been offended. And therefore the atonement must make an impression upon God. And so it did. And so the sinlessness of Christ, the sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation, in that only a lamb without blemish and without spot is an acceptable sacrifice for sin. And so to reject the impeccability of Christ, that is to reject his sinlessness, because he was able not to sin and not able to sin, but to reject the impeccability of Christ, to deny it, is to undermine the efficacy or the power of his atoning blood. You see, the Redeemer is sinless. And he is sinless because he is virgin born. And the point is, only the blood of incarnate deity, only the blood of an innocent person can propitiate or appease the wrath of God, remove the guilt of our sin, and reconcile us to God. And therefore, because of the satisfaction of God's justice, there is deliverance from sin, there is redemption, there is freedom from sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so here we see the result of redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins comes to us entirely through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And therefore, if we go to Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes especially upon his atoning sacrifice, we have pardon by virtue of his blood. And so, by Christ's atonement, men are given release. Men are set free, because the price is paid by the subject to the object. Matthew 20:28, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, and time is swiftly moving on. But it says this: even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, listen, and give his life a ransom for many. And so he died as a sacrifice, and by parting with his life, made atonement for sin, and so rescued ours. And once the sinner has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, then he is freed by the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit from the bondage of Satan. And so we obtain the forgiveness of sins through his blood. And through the atonement he has made. It's true that we're not to suppose that this is all the benefit which we receive from his death, or that this is all that constitutes redemption, that is, the forgiveness of sins. Can be said as perhaps the most important, but we also obtain the hope of heaven, the influences of God's Holy Spirit, grace to guide us and to support us in trial, peace and death, and many more benefits. Still, forgiveness is so prominent and important that the apostle here, he mentioned it. Well, he's mentioned it as if it were all. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Jameson, Fawcett and Brown, he states, this remission, this forgiveness, being the explanation of redemption, listen, includes not only deliverance from sin's penalty, but from its pollution and enslaving power, and the reconciliation of an offended God, and a satisfaction unto a just God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is satisfied, that is, God the Father is satisfied with God the Son. And therefore, God is satisfied with all who rest on that sacrifice, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And finally, there is, the basis of redemption. The basis of redemption, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. His grace, unmerited favor, undeserving. For God of his rich grace found the ransom price and gave his Son, as well as he gave himself, his life, a ransom for many. That's the basis upon which any sinner experiences redemption from sin. Grace. Love exercised towards the undeserving, the unworthy, the free, undeserved goodness and favour of God, the grace of God. Friends, God would have been just. God would have been just who passes all by and leave us to ourselves and leave us to our own self-determined sinfulness. God would have been just in doing so. He would have been just in passing us all by and leaving us to ourselves, to our own self-determined sinfulness, but he hasn't. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, every converted sinner is simply a saved sinner. Such are delivered from sin and wrath. They are brought into a state of salvation and have a right given them by grace to eternal happiness. The grace that saves them is the free, undeserved goodness and favour of God, for he saves them through faith in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Therefore, and as I've said already this day, therefore we as the people of God, we ought to stand in awe at being the recipients, the beneficiaries of something which cost the very life of the Son of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Perhaps there's one here today, and you're not in Christ. We simply present to you the only Redeemer, Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And friend, you can go away knowing peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can go home this day, and you too can say, like the apostle, and like those in this meeting, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself. Let us bow together.